Okay. So this, I'm sure, has been an interesting sugya, different than the first one in that, you know, it's not really the Gemara here, Gemara in Baba Basra, Gemara in Baba Metzia Daf Gimel, but it's an important sugya, and this is the place to discuss it. Today, just to finish the sugya, we discussed yesterday the two different understandings of why Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinan, either that it's not strong enough, or that it's totally not Shayach, because Migu can only strengthen your hold, it can't, you know, build a base on something you're not holding. Today we want to begin by talking about the nafkaminas of this question of how you understand the problem of migul hotzi. And I think there's two kinds of nafkaminas. The first is the dinim of migul hotzi. And then I want to speak about a couple of dinim beyond just migu in general that are based on this principle. And the second part of the shiur, Mirz Hashem, we'll speak about the possibility that there's more than one track here. Aiden, thank you for the wonderful view behind you. We have shiur with a view. Look at the sky. Look at the sky behind Aiden. I'll tell you guys a little bit of reflection, a little bit musr. It says in the Zohar that a person should look at the sky every day. A person should look at the sky every day. There's a story where Rav Nachman Mibresov was traveling with his Talmud, and they went to visit another Talmud, a second Talmud. And this second Talmud was very, very poor, like really sad. So the Talmud who was traveling with Rav Nachman said, Rav Nachman, you should give him a bracha that he should have a little bit more. Rachmanis. Rav Nachman said, no, I don't want to do it. The kid said, look how bad it is. Give him a bracha. Rav Nachman said, no, I don't want to do it. It's not going to be good for him. The Talmud kept pushing. Rav Nachman said, okay, I'll give him the bracha, but you'll see it won't end well. Okay, Rav Nachman gave him the bracha. The guy indeed became rich, became a big businessman, trading back and forth, whatever. And he was very busy with his trading that obviously his religion wasn't, you know, wasn't able to focus on it. And every time he would come to the town where Rav Nachman lived, Rav Nachman would ask him to come visit, and the guy was very busy, and he didn't make it. One time, Rav Nachman sent him a message, heard he was in town, please come immediately. The guy came immediately, what's going on? Rav Nachman said, what are you up to? He said, I'm busy. I'm trading carriages, horses, wagons, donkeys. So Rav Nachman said, have you looked at the sky today? The guy said, look at the sky. I don't have time to look at the sky. I'm so busy. He said, look at the sky. He looks up. He said, tell me, you see any wagons there, any carriages, any horses, any donkeys? Because all the things you see laterally are here only for the moment. You look to the sky, it gives you perspective of what's here long term. And that's obviously important Musar in general, for sure. At a time like this, and let's continue investing in the things that are internal based upon looking at the sky and not get distracted by the things that are temporary. In any case, the dinim of Migu Lahotzi, we're going to talk about two things. Number one, can Migu Lahotzi work when it has support, when it has a blitzing linebacker, right? When there's someone else helping it? Context for this question of the Mishnayos in the end of the first parak, beginning of the second parak of Ksuvis, that I hope people had a chance to see, where the there are Tanaim who say that a woman is ne'emenet to say that she was a psula if she's getting divorced to collect her ksuva. Gemara says, wait, does this say that Bari v'shema, Bari adif, because he's obviously a shema, he doesn't know if she was an ida, she's Bari hishema, so Bari v'shema adif? So the Gemara says, not so fast. Here it's different because there's an amigo. Meaning Bari v'shema, Bari adif may not be generally true, but here it's a Bari and amigo. So the Ramban asks, it's Migu Lahotzi. Why should the Migu, in his discussion in Baba Basra Daf Lamed Beis, he says, don't you see from here that Shmei Migu, Umafkinan Bei Mamona? You see from here that it's considered a Migu. By the way, the formulation of the Ramban there seems to make it sound like if you say Migu Lahotzi, it's not a question of the strength. The question is whether the Migu exists. Right? Look at the words again. Alma lekuli alma shmei migu. Lekuli alma shmei migu. That's the question, whether shmei migu or not, not how strong it is. In case the Ramban says, oh, you see from here, shmei migu, even lahotzi. The Mordechai in Baba Metzia, Taf Tes Zayin, says, you don't have a proof. There, the migu is together with a bari. So again, according to Tosfos, it's not whether the migu exists, it's whether the migu is strong enough together with the bari, it would exist. So, you know, this Mordechai fits in with the Bali Tosfos in general because Tosfos and Baba Basra that we saw yesterday at the very end says there's a difference when the Migu has a shtar with it because then it can work. Again, it's not that the Migu isn't shayach, it's that the Migu isn't enough. This, you know, helps us understand the Tosfos Baba Metzia in the name of the Rivam, his explanation in Rabbah, that in a case where the Migu is stronger, it would work Lahotzi. It's just, it's not strong enough. And again, frankly, I think that's what we feel from the Lashon of Rabbah. Mali l'shaker. Mali l'shaker. It's a stronger migu, as we said. Okay. So the first nafkamina of whether Migul HaHoti isn't strong enough, like it sounds from the Rashba, or Migul HaHoti doesn't exist when it's Lahotzi, it would be, would it work with a support? The second question I believe could be connected to this is the question we asked about whether it's a problem Lahotzi or a need for Lahachzik. And if it's the Migul isn't strong enough, it would make sense. It's not strong enough Lahotzi, which is the way the Rashba, who says the Migul isn't strong enough, formulates it in his tshuva, right? De la fuke mamish lo amrinan. Ad kide kach, we don't say. La fuke, lahotzi. If you're saying, though, that the migu isn't shayach, where it's not strengthening your claim, so then it might be a tzorech lahachzik. A tzorech lahachzik, like we saw in the Tosfos Rid and Tosfos in Baba Basra. So these are two nafkaminas of the question. This broader question about migu, about migu and migu lahotzi could impact, you know, the dinim of migu in general. Do we say migu mimamon lemamon, which is the other question that came up in our sugya, the chiddush of the Ramban that, you know, though the Ramban holds there's no problem, migu lahotzi explains the migu doesn't work here because it's mimamon lemamon. So again, if it's a question of believability, the migu gives you more believability. Why shouldn't you be able to say it mimamon lemamon? You're believable, more believable. And that makes sense that the Ran and the Muki Yosef understand that the Migu is based on Birur, which is why they care so much about Migu de Ha'aza. It's a chutzpah. Yeah, to make the alternative claim would have required more chutzpah, and therefore you're not believed. It doesn't give you more Birur. And that's why the Ran and the Muki Yosef didn't recognize this problem of Mimamon Lamamon, because if it's Mevare your Ne'amanus, who cares if you're trying to claim other money with it? The Ramban, on the other hand, who we just saw based on the fact that he doesn't consider the possibility of Migu working with Bari, because he understands Migu Lahotzi Lormina means the Migu doesn't exist Lahotzi. So you can understand also that just like Migu doesn't work Lahotzi, it also doesn't work on other Mamon, because it only works on the Mamon you're holding. So the Ramban would be Lishitaso in this idea that because the problem of Migu Lahotzi is that Migu needs to support your hold on something, it also wouldn't work Mimamon Lamamon, where the Migu is based on something you could have said about other money. So this is a little bit just finishing up yesterday about how the different understandings of Migu impact the different halachos we've been talking about in our sugya. And if the questions, we'll move to the second part of the shir, which is the possibility that maybe there are two different tracks, two different dinim of these concepts that we've been talking about in the last day and a half. Eitan, we're all jealous. We all want to hear what you're saying, Eitan. I mean, we like the view of your facial hair down there, and we see that you're definitely behind Aiden and Joe, and obviously greatly behind Eitan Levy, who I was told yesterday is leaving everyone behind with his facial hair. But, you know, okay, send it. Any questions before we continue? All right. So as far as the possibility of there being more than one track here, I think we see it in two parts of the sugya. The first is the relationship between Migu working to pater you from a shvua and Migu working to help you collect money. We already saw the Gemara on Daf Gimel, where the Rishonim, on Daf Ches, excuse me, where from where the Rishonim want to prove that Migu can work, right, to, you know, in our case, let's go back to Tosus again, Chesem and Aleph, this Migu, you know, to believe you by the chetzi, because he could have said kula, we find in the Gemara in Daf Ches. Kedamrinim b'Gemara hay migu gufe lifter mishvua ilav mishum derumi kam harim. Had not been for the, you know, peripheral problem of haroma, we would have said this migu that you could have said the whole thing, believe me on the half. Now there, the Gemara is talking about believe me on the half to do what? To pater from shvua. Believe me on the half to pater from shvua. That's what the Gemara is talking about there. If we take a look at the Mordechai, Reish Tes Zayin, let's in fact take a look together, when he's discussing this proof, right, and they're all discussing, does the Migu work in our case here, even though it's Lahotzi? So in the end, he quotes the Ritzbah, who has a very interesting formulation. We talked about the Ritzbah already, first half, second half, but let's look at it. Ritzbah Tiritz, the end of Reish Tes Zayin. The Lo Amrina Migu Lahotzi, Afila Ba'osa Mamon, even about the Mamon itself, it's not me Mamon the Mamon here, it's on that half. The Chetzi Vasheni Muchzik Zekazen. Hainu Little Harivia below Shvua. Now, the first time we looked at this Ritzbah yesterday, two days ago, the first time we looked at this Ritzbah, we talked about the first half and the second half of the half that's being disputed. But if you look carefully at the Lashon of the Riva, he could be making a different chiluk. The Gemara and Daf Ches is talking about using a migul like this to pater you from a shvua, not for you to win more money. Look again, right? Right? Meaning, the migu mi mamon le mamon works to pat you from a shvuah, not to award you money. We haven't yet explained why, but I'm just showing you the chiluk. Now, in explaining why, we're going to make this very interesting. The reason it's very interesting is because we find Rishonim who make exactly the opposite chiluk between Mammon and Shvuah in a different context, which shows you it's not stronger or weaker, it's just different. Where do we find the same chilik in the opposite direction? By the question of Migud Ha'aza, where we already started discussing this a little bit, Migud Ha'aza, one of the sources, let's look in Baba Metzia, Daf Gimel Amad Aleph, and of course, Mirat Hashem will get there. The Gemara on the bottom famously explains the Svaras behind Moda B'Miktsas versus Kofra Bakol. Amar Rabba, three lines in the bottom of Gimel Amad Aleph. Mipneim Amar Torah Moda Miktsas Hatani Yishava. Why is there a chiv shvuah by Moda Miktsas not Kofra Bakol? Chazok Eina Demei Es Panav Efnei Baal Chobo. Person doesn't want to have chutzpah. V'hai B'kuli Bari D'Nichbere. He really, you know, wanted to reject everything. V'hado Okafrim Shem Deina Demei Es Panav Efnei Baal Chobo. V'hai B'kuli Bari D'Lei. D'Lei would have agreed to everything. V'hai D'Lo Odi Ishtemuti Yidakam Ishtamet Mine. Right, he doesn't have the chutzpah to go all the way, so he says Moda B'Miktsas. Tosus explains, last Tosus given on Aleph, Nema Matorah Pirish. Yehei Nema B'Migu, a guy who is Moda B'Miktsas should be believed with the Migu, by Kofar HaKol. O Nelef Mihacha, Delo Nema Migu B'Ava, maybe we should see from here, we don't say Migu. U'Mishani Dein Zem Migu, Teina Demei Espan of Lichbar HaKol, Hol V'Chaver Makiru B'Shikro. Tosus explains that the Gemara is using the concept of Migu D'Ha'aza to explain why a Moda B'Miktsas doesn't have a Migu. I know we believe Moda B'Miktsas, he could have been Kofar Bakol. Because Kofar Bakol takes chutzpah. We don't say Migud Ha'aza. Now here, here we're talking about by Shvuah. Right? We don't say Migud Ha'aza to pati you from a Shvuah. Right? You need a regular Migu. Migud Ha'aza won't pati you. What's interesting is that there are many Rishonim who say that by Mammon, a Migud Ha'aza would help you win, even though it's a Migud Ha'aza. Meaning, here by Migud Ha'aza, Shvuah is weaker. We won't use a Migud Ha'aza to pati from Shvuah. We will use a Migud Ha'aza to award you money. That's the opposite of what the Mordechai in the name of the Ritzbah says, mi mamon la mamon. He says, we will say it by Shvuah, but not by mamon. What's pshat? So what it shows you, it's not Shvuah or mamon is better than the other. They're different than one another. And this is the point made by the Kovetz Shurim, again, in his famous discussion about Migu. And he says, Os Chav Gimel, bottom page 6, Amnon lafi anal nira, de bemigu de ha'aza leka griusa, ele behochacha v'habirur. Amigu de ha'aza, what you lack is the, you know, believability. We don't know to believe you more. De'efshishu, what's the shak of any yachalahayis? Because here you would lie. Ava koach ha'ne'amonus, the other din of koach ha'tana, she'esh v'din migu, ika gam b'migu de ha'aza. Even by migu de ha'aza, you could have made another claim. So the koach ha'tana you have. Continues the Kovetz Shurim, Lafuke, my mama, and Sagi b'din Neman is greater. To help you win money or hold on to your money, there it's enough to have Koch Neman, it's Koch Hatayna. Aval Afturim, Shvua, Tzarech Latayma Da'anan, Sadi, Shiyeh, Biru, B'mak, Mishvua, Shiyeh, Mevareret. Says Rabbi Chanan, Migu works to pati you from a Shvua when you have the Biru, when we have more believability of you. And therefore, Migu Da'aza, we lack the believability, Migu doesn't work to pati you from the Shvua. But to protect your money, their koach hatayna will work, even though you don't have the believability. Taking this logic of the Kovetz Shurim, we can now explain using the opposite idea by mi mamon lemamon. By mamon lemamon, you have the believability, but you lack the koach hatayna. And that's why the results, according to the Mordechai, would be flipped. The migu mi mamon lemamon would work for shvua, where it's a question of believability, but it won't work for mamon, where it's a question of holding on to your own mamon. So these two tracks, you see very nicely by Mammon and Shvuah, basically what we're saying is that Migu works for Shvuah by adding believability. Migu works for Mammon by strengthening your Taina. And that would have nafkaminas in different directions. Mammon, the mammon on the one hand would help for shvua, not mammon. But Niguda'aza would work for mammon and not shvua. Here we're seeing the possibility that these two ideas of what supports migu would work in different places. Now, if I'm Eitan Edinger and I'm busy, you know, hand combing my hair, okay? I'm thinking to myself, is this a sugya worth doing? You know, this migu lahotzi, it's just in Tosfos here. You know, it's starting to sound like the Yeshiva Greater Washington at this, a little bit the lamdonis off the daf, books on high shelves, 2.5 meter mechitza, you got to climb to get a safer. You know what I'm saying? Baruch Shem Edinger had good training climbing high mechitzas. You know, I don't know if we should do this sugya. Edinger, the last part of the shir is for you. And the last part of the shir is why I decided to do this sugya. Because it's Gishmak. And everybody knows that Gishmak is Bigamatria Edinger. It's Gishmak. I'm saying, well, we're going to see this last part of the sugya. You know, we're going to know something that very few people know. We're going to, you know, we're going to be able to strut it around here. And let's get ready for it. I think you see these, not only two types of what the basis of the migu is, like we said by Mammon and Shvua, but there may even be two types of migu. And this would explain Tosfos in the name of the Rebar Mordechai in Baba Basra. And we saw major problems with it. It's almost like doesn't make sense. Right? He's talking on the Gemara, and he has a kasha on Rav Yosef, which seems to be Rabba's kasha. He uses migu instead of Mali the Shaka. What's going on there? I believe one can say that the Rebar Mordechai doesn't intend to explain the machlokas. He's not coming to explain the machlokas between Rabba and Rav Yosef, because if so, he should say, my timer. He has a kasha. The Re understood him as coming to explain the machlokas, and that's why he said, doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. I don't believe he was coming to explain the machlokas. I believe that he was asking an additional kasha, that there are two levels of the conversation. And I'll explain what I mean. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef are debating whether what should be shayach in their case. What's the language of the Gemara? They're debating whether you have what there, whether you have a mali l'shaker. Now, mali l'shaker is the way of formulating the birur side of how things might work. Why should he lie? Believe him on what he's saying. And what's the explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef? Maybe like the Rivam and Baba Metzia. And it makes sense that Rabbi Yosef rejects, you know, what he's saying, because someone who's already lied, you know, we don't have reason to believe him. They're discussing the believability question. The Rebar Mordechai is asking something else. Even if Mali Leshaker doesn't exist, what should exist here? Migu. And Migu is different than Mali Leshaker. Migu is about the strength, your Koach HaTainan. And here he's answering for everyone. He's not answering only according to Rabbi Yosef. He says there's no Migu Lahotzi, which makes sense, right? There's no Migu Lahotzi because you can't strengthen a claim on what you don't own. That answers the kasha of the Re. The Re says it doesn't sound like the language from Yosef that he's disagreeing because of Migu Lahotzi. You don't see it there. Yeah, the Re Bar Mordechai isn't saying that Rabbi Yosef is basing his words off Migu Lahotzi. He's not saying that. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef are talking about Mali L'Shaker. The Re Bar Mordechai has another question. Forget Mali L'Shaker. What about Migu? What about the fact that you have a potential other claim that should strengthen your hold? And here the Rebbe Mordechai gives his answer. We don't say Migul Hotzi. But Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, they were disagreeing only about Mali L'Shaker, because it's clear according to everyone that we won't say Migu since it's Lahotzi. The reason Rabbi builds off Mali L'Shaker is because Migul Hotzi, Lo Amrina. In which case, you don't have to say that the Rebbe and the Rebbe Mordechai are disagreeing. The Rebbe Mordechai wasn't saying Rabbi Yosef is the one who says Migul Hotzi, Lo Amrina. The Rebbe Mordechai is saying, everyone holds Migu Lahotzi Lo Amrinan. There's a difference between Migu and Mali L'Shaker. I don't know if Edinger likes what I'm saying, but the DRS guys, I think, enjoyed it. When I showed the Migu and Mali L'Shaker and the Rivam and the Rebbe Mordechai, Hamish. And England is smiling because he can imagine that Hamish kite, right? It was Hamish. So this is why we did this. I mean, we did this because Migu Lahotzi is obviously a very important thing. But, you know, I was able to be Machria a little bit more to do it, because this way to get a better understanding of all these things. This is the place to do it and get a good understanding of Migu and Migul Hotzi and the two types of Migu. And Mir Tashem, you know, we're going to be seeing more about Migu, please God, you know, as it comes up on Daf Gimel and in other places. So this is Baba Metzia. This is Shnayim Ochsin. On the one hand, the sugyas that are, you know, fleshed out in the Gemara, the other things fleshed out by the Rishonim behind the scenes. Okay, it being Thursday, should we do a little bit of Parsha? Yes? No? Yes. Okay. And, you know, I want again, thank Hashem for something we don't take for granted. We had the 3 days of yeshiva learning this week. And even though I haven't been able to be there with you, the ikkar is that you're there with each other. And we're looking forward to another week next week. Keep our eyes on what's good. And we as a staff will continue to do our best to try and provide for you in the best way. This week's parsha is one of the few in the Torah that speaks about chinuch, that speaks about impacting people. Beginning of the parsha, when it says that Avram set out with Sarah, with Lot, with their possessions, and then it says, "V'yas ha-nefesh asher asu b'choron." Ha-nefesh asher asu b'choron. Of course, it's a very strange phrase. They made souls. They made souls. What does that mean? Chazal tell us these are the people that Avram and Sarah were in the Karev. And again, it's already an unculus. Such an interesting phrase to talk about someone you're in the Karev. Hanefesh asher asu, you made their soul. And we find a similar lashon famously by Midbar Perikimel, where it says, Ela told us Moshe of Aaron, and then it only mentions the sons of Aaron. Chazal learned from here that when you teach someone Torah in a deep way, in a meaningful way, it's as if you bore them, brought them into the world. And therefore, Moshe's name is used here in introducing the sons of Aaron. And on some way, you know, teaching someone Torah is creating them in a more meaningful way than bringing them into the world. We all know the mission in Baba Metzia Daf Lamed Gimel. And if Chas V'Shalom, one's Rebbe and father are both drowning, and assuming the father never taught them Torah, you know, you save the Rebbe first, you return the Aveda of the Rebbe first, because, you know, how can you compare someone who brings you into this world, someone who brings you into the next world? And it's not just bringing someone to the next world, giving them Olam Haba. It's giving meaning to their life. So on the one hand, this word, v'sanefesh asher asu b'charon, sounds very extreme in what a mechanech accomplishes with someone. But there's another place in the parsha that speaks about chinuch, and actually the word chinuch, as opposed to the word asiyah. Anyone remembers what it is? It says when Avram collected his group to go to war, it says, v'yarek es chanichov. This is a place the Torah actually refers to people who are chanichim, right? Who are students. And obviously the question is, what does it mean that someone is your mechanech, someone is your mechunach, chanichav? And really, what is chinuch? So Rashi says on the pasuk that chinuch is to help someone be in the place they should be. The Chovos HaTalmidim, right? The great Pius Etzner Rebbe, he says, you know, we use the term chinuch also to be mechanech the mizbeach, right? To be mechanech the mishkan, chinuch habayis, right? To inaugurate something is the term we use. How does that make sense? You know, chinuch of a person and chinuch of a bayis. He says, chinuch means to put something in its right place, to help something find its place and get it going. Which to a large extent sounds different than the nefesh asher asu, and it's a good counterbalance. Chinuch in its ideal form shouldn't be trying to recreate someone. It's trying to help someone find their place and get on the path of who they're really meant to be. Which to a large extent is creating someone. You're not changing them. but you're getting them into their groove. And here's something very important. Chinuch is not to try and get people to be different than who they are. Chinuch is trying to get people to find who they are and channel themselves in the right way. And I'm sure that over your careers as chanichim, and especially as you start making the transition from being just a chanich to being also a mechanich, and hopefully all of you will be, you'll be parents in Yirtzeh Hashem, so you'll be mechanichim, and hopefully you'll do your best to impact other people. That's what we learned from Avraham Avinu. Impacting other people isn't some hiddur mitzvah if you happen to be a Chabad chassid. Impacting other people is a basic part of being a Jew, being a child of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's what the Jewish people are supposed to be impacted. And because we were in gullus and ghettos so long and couldn't impact, you know, sometimes people forgot that. As you're growing as a person and you're developing more passion for learning, better midos, whatever it is, maturity, you have to ask yourself, am I finding who I am, who I'm meant to be based on the talents that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me? Now again, Torah, we know every Jew is meant to learn. Every Jew has to find how they're meant to connect to Torah in a passionate way. And you know, that's one of the differences between the Haredi world and our world. In the Haredi, in our world, everyone's raised, you know, maybe a hockey fan, a baseball fan, like movies, is that Torah, it's a possibility. In the Haredi world, everyone is raised knowing that they have to connect to Torah. And lo and behold, everybody does. I would say everyone, you know, no one's perfect, but you know, and that's what we have to understand. Torah, connecting to Torah, learning Torah, being passionate about Torah, that's all of us. But now there are many differences. Anyone who knows Yisrael Wiener, anyone who knows Yisrael Wiener, knows that he and Shlomo Schwartz are different than each other. I just mentioned Shlomo because he's next to Yisrael on my screen. Who's better, Yisrael or Shlomo? Not better. They're different, right? Both Yisrael and Shlomo need to be big Talmid Chacham connected strongly to Torah for their whole lives. Now, each of them have to, you know, figure out, and that's part of Chinuch, how they're themselves. And to think about how to translate this for themselves. And this is something that we at Yeshivat HaKotel and I, we work very hard. That everybody should find that path of maturity, seriousness. My wife told me last night that she was speaking to a rabbi in one of the communities you guys come from. The rabbi said, my daughter is getting chinuch age. You have to look out a koto guy for her. My wife said, why dafka a koto guy? He goes, because the koto guys are steps above everyone else. He said, in their maturity, in the way they look at life. I don't want to speak about anybody else. I hope everybody else is mature and good and wonderful and, you know, et cetera. My job is to help us. And for better or for worse, HaKadosh Baruch Hu threw us a curveball this year. A curveball that can help all of us respond in a mature way. Or not. Or not. And this is the Nefesh HaShirasu B'charon. The Netziv writes, I don't understand. Moshe is considered as having born Aaron's children because he taught them Torah. Most people teach most people Torah. I taught you a little vart, you teach me a little vart. So everybody bears everybody else. What's pshat? The Netziv says, no. Teaching someone the Gemara B'kiyas, that's not bringing them into the world. He said, when you teach someone Torah that speaks to who they are, that helps them appreciate and develop a deeper understanding of life and themselves, that's Ki'ilu Yoldo. Okay? That's what we should strive for ourselves. That's what we should aim to be for other people. I want to conclude by speaking a little bit about how. How did Avram and Sarah do this? How did they do this? So I want to, you know, share a few thoughts, which I think are very, very important in Chinuch, as you make the transition from being just a chanich to being someone hopefully who's going to impact other people. So first of all, everyone's familiar with the famous idea in Chazal that Avram mixed between his two passions, his impact of other people and his care for other people. He would bring people in and he would feed them and give them and help them and whatever, and then use that as a way of trying to inspire them to be more. And that is definitely, definitely true. The first step to helping inspire someone is having that person know that you care about them, genuinely care about them, and see value in them. I always say, if you want someone to care about what you're teaching them, you have to show them that you care about who they are. Not just who they are, that they should, you know, have lunch, but who they are as people, that you see their value as people. This is a very, very important thing. The second thing I want to mention is that Avram was known as a Moser Nefesh. Rambam presented how Avram was Moser Nafsho. If you want people to take what you believe seriously, you need to be a model of someone who takes it seriously. If you learn Torah and have good vertach and you make jokes and you're a cynic and you undermine, you know, whatever, you know, Torah is like a hobby. Yeah, it's a nice thing. So why should anyone else take what you don't take seriously, seriously? Avram was Moser Nefesh. He cared tremendously. And people see how seriously to take what you believe from how seriously you take what you believe. Number three, the Rambam speaks about how Avram explained to people lefi da'atam, kol echad lefi da'ato. Take a look in the Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, where the Rambam speaks about how the world was of the Kochavim and Avram came in. You got to be able to talk to each person. You have a Shemir Salosha and Seder Chavrusa. You have a Halacha Seder Chavrusa. You have a Musa Chavrusa. You have an Ein Chavrusa. Each one of them is different. You have some guy you're interacting with. Each one of them is different. And this is a year where Shana Bet guys can have a much bigger impact than in the past because you're much more connected with the guys and they're dependent much more on you. Are you able to talk to each one based upon who they are, or are you still stuck in yourself? The difference between being a child and an adult, the difference between being immature and mature, is the ability to transcend yourself, to stop having your life be just about this need, this interest, this want, this focus, and be about where other people are, and be able to think about where they are, and what do I need to say to them, and how do I need to say it to them that it'll make a difference to them. There's a beautiful vart on Chanoch Lenar al Pi Darko. It's unclear who the word Darko is referring to. Generally interpreted as the Derech of the Nar. But it's also the Derech of the Mechanech. Mechanech is about how I can come across in a way that's truly me and truly you. And the more I can see above myself, transcend myself, the more I can do that. Number four. Number four. Chazal, when they talk about Avram, how he would feed people and help people and blah, 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 it also says, Mahivan. He would show them love. There's a difference between caring for someone and loving someone. In fact, Chazal say beautifully that Avram was Mekayim Ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha. Because if you love someone, you love Hashem, you want others to love. And the way you get others to love what you love is by loving them. I'm not trying to sound cheesy and all, you know, seminary and whatever. But love is an important thing. Not just you appreciate someone, you want to help them, but you care for them in a real way. Last but not least, we talked about five things here, right? We talked about caring for people. We talked about being Moser Nefesh, teaching people based upon where they are. Loving, maybe talk about four things, unless I forgot one. Okay. The fifth is a very powerful idea. Yes, a nefesh asher asu v'charan. As I'll say, Avram and Sarah were a team. The best way to impact people is to be part of something broader. And whether that's the team of a husband and wife who believe in things and work on things together, as opposed to the lone ranger who's on his own mountain, or whether it's a team of Shanabek guys or a team of a yeshiva, the more you're part of something bigger, the more seriously someone can take it. If you're going to come as, my name is, you know, Pliny Almoni. The Jewish world is crazy. Obviously, the non-Orthodox are crazy. Anyone who's not the same Ashkof as me is worse than the Reform, because they're not the same Ashkof as me. Anyone in the next capsule is crazy. The Yeshiva is crazy. The other capsules are crazy. The Rebbeim are crazy. Everyone else in my capsule and everyone else crazy. I have the truth. The only people you're going to influence by that are people who are too insecure to have their own identity. And your influence over them won't be for very long. until they find the next person to leech onto. You want to influence someone? Be part of something bigger and broader. Even if you're unique and different, then you should be unique and different. Let's think about how we present ourselves as part of something bigger and more significant. It's critical for ourselves and for other people. The parasha of Chinuch. It's a nefesh asher asu b'charon v'yarek es chanichov. And it's an honor for me to be involved in Chinuch with you, both as someone trying to help you grow and someone growing from my relationship with you. And let's continue growing together. And let's look at the challenges we face as a way to help us mature instead of as a way to help us desist. In Mirza Hashem, may we continue. May choyol al choyol. I understand we're davening mincha now. Everyone should have a meaningful mincha.